The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Good morning. So I was up here in November or December, and I wanted to share an update because if you haven't seen in the news, there are some current events in Haiti that are relevant that require our prayers and consideration. So for those of you that don't have a context, you know, we're all living our own lives and have our own present realities, and I know some of you have really heavy things, so I'm sorry to add to the heavy, but I think it's a important privilege that we have as part of the Universal Church that we know what's happening with our brothers and sisters around the world so that we can pray and ask for God to show grace and mercy in circumstances really far removed from us and outside of our control. So if you haven't heard the context, I'm happy to talk more about Haiti. But in the most recent challenges in the country started in 2021 when the president was assassinated. There's a lot of corruption in Haiti. I'm sure if you know anything about it, you know that. Gratuitous violence is currently escalating. The estimates that I've read are 6,000 people were murdered last year, just in the crossfire of these gang wars. And there are estimated 1 million displaced people internally. So right now, the gangs control about 85% of Port-au-Prince, which is the capital city, and they have control of all access points. The Haitian police and the UN-supported Kenyan peacekeeping forces who are there have both suffered losses, and they're severely outnumbered. So why I'm up here right now is this week on Monday morning, the gangs attacked a city northeast of Port-au-Prince, Mirebalais. This is significant because they staged a prison break and over 500 of the incarcerated were released into the city, and thousands of people fled from the city. Later on Monday evening in the city of Bohawk, which is the ministry where Matthew 28, the ministry that we supported recently with our benevolence fund, they welcomed up to 500 refugees coming from Mirebalais with backpacks and nothing else, no place to go, just fleeing from the violence. So the Matthew 28 ministry that we've worked with opened their doors. Leilene, who's the Haitian director, on I think Thursday or Friday night, cooked rice and beans for 175 people. There are two families that have sought refuge at the Matthew 28 campus and are just living in the courtyard right now. What's really neat and providential is we had sent money for Matthew 28 to expand their child feeding centers to include the families because of the gang violence. Access to food has become an issue even in the areas outside of the capital city. So we had sent money for food, and they got two different shipments from the Midwest Food Bank, and they used those supplies that we purchased to help care for these refugees. So these people in need in Bohawk are now able to minister to people who are in urgent need. So that's something to celebrate. On Wednesday, because troubles abound, on Wednesday we got news that the violence in Port-au-Prince was escalating as well, which seems to be the strategy of these gangs to cause chaos in multiple places at multiple times, because that's how evil works. It's not stupid. Evil right. is clever, right? But our God is perfectly wise. I'm gonna really try hard to say these things without bawling. So my friend Amber, who some of you have known about for quite a long time now, is from Virginia, and she has worked with a children's home there for a decade now, at least. She has chosen to stay in Haiti. She has guardianship of 7 children, and there are many more that are now teenagers and young adults that she's helped raise, but she's chosen to stay with them. So now there's no way out of Port-au-Prince. The airport has been closed since last fall, but they find themselves in really desperate situations. So this week, Amber's mission organization sent out a message saying, please pray, because the rumors are that the gangs are coming to these last neighborhoods that are not gang-controlled, and there's no way out. So they asked specifically for prayers for protection, for strength, for wisdom for Amber, who's trying to care for these children, and for justice to come. You know, God is going to make all things right someday, and praying for peace. So we're holding all of these heavy things, and there are people that are far away and circumstances that are far removed and hard to understand. But I wanted to read, I keep thinking of this passage when I think about people like Amber and Leilene, who are there in the middle of the crisis and being Jesus' hands and feet. At the end of his ministry, when Jesus knows the crucifixion is coming soon, this is what teaching he leaves with his disciples. This is taken from Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was a prisoner, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So for us, who are removed from the plight of the poor and the thirsty and hungry and the sick and oppressed in Haiti and other places around the world, I'm wondering, what can we do? So first of all, we can pray especially for the Christians serving there, for them to have strength and wisdom, and that God would protect them. And there are ways that we can give, and our church has been so faithful to do that, and I'm so thankful. And again, looking forward to the day when we can see these brothers and sisters in Christ and say, oh, it's finished. Thank you.